Blog Talk Radio.
As 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18 reads, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Good morning. This is Radio Shepherd. And I am so happy, so glad, so ecstatic that you, the flock, have tuned in. You've tuned in because we have a word of the Lord for you. We don't have gimmicks. We don't have tricks. We don't have $1,000 lines. We don't. We're old school. We're an old school church. Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is an old school church, and by old school, simply it means that we just love Jesus and that's it. We come together because he's our everything. And that without him, we know, we just simply know we can't make it. You keep the fluff. By you, I mean those who want it. You keep the circus acts. You keep the light shows. You keep the plays and the dramas and all that stuff. You keep all of that. We're going to keep it simple. And with Jesus, it's simple. Christ alone. That's it. That's what the Reformers taught. God alone, the Bible alone, Christ alone, the Holy Spirit alone, and love alone. What keeps us together? The love of God. And the fact that we love Him, and He's commanded us to love one another, by this will the world know that we're His disciples, and that those of us who are called to service, that we are to love the lambs and we're to love the sheep. That's it, simple. And to get busy doing what He's called us to do. Well, today, Friday, we're coming to the end of the work week. And I want to remind you that this radio ministry, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, is also connected to. We have three other broadcasts that are connected to this one. We have Daily Manna from Heaven, and we just finished a series this morning on ministering with Christ, rather ministering to the multitude with Christ. Ministering to the multitude with Christ. And so I want to encourage you to go over to Daily Manna from Heaven and listen to that five-part series that I started this Monday. In addition to that, don't miss any of the Wolf Tracker broadcasts. You need to know what's going on with the wolves in sheep's clothing. In addition to that, tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to be having a two-hour lecture on Satanology and spiritual warfare. It's the Bible Institute lecture. So tomorrow, Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m., we have this lecture at the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. Tomorrow, Satanology and spiritual warfare. And the topic of tomorrow's lecture is Satan, Fact or Fiction. And so this radio church is endeavoring to minister to all of your needs. And we want to encourage you to take advantage of everything that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church and its affiliate broadcast are offering you on a daily and on a weekly basis. And do not forget that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church and all those broadcasts are entirely listener supported. So we need your love gifts to stay on the air, believe it or not, operating on a shoestring budget with no shoestrings. By that, I'm telling you that it takes a miracle. Every week we are able to come on the air based on miracles. What's the miracle? The miracle of God's love. He compels us. His love compels us to serve you. And then we're encouraging you to send your love gifts. And you say, well, Radio Shepherd, I don't have much to give. Send it anyway, because when everybody chips in, when everybody does their little part, then we're able to put these broadcasts on every week. When you say, well, I'll hold off until I get more, then, we're just hoping that we can continue. Because on this end, on this side, we have not missed a broadcast. We have not taken a day off. We have not. We're gung-ho for Jesus. We're sold out. We're pushing. We're pushing the envelope. Why? Because He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. That's exactly what we're doing. So we pray that you can do it two ways. You can put a love offering in the mail. And in the slide presentation, we give you the address. And also, you can do it through PayPal, whatever's more convenient for you. But don't say, well, this is just too little. If everyone sends their little, then we'll be able to stay on the air and do all that we're endeavoring to do. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And Paul said what to this new convert church? It's a new convert church. Paul said what? Praying without ceasing. We've already covered how Jesus prayed without ceasing. When you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is evidence throughout that Jesus did nothing apart from prayer. He, our Savior, our Lord, did nothing apart. In fact, in Mark tells us in Mark 1:35 that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. And then early in the morning, while he was still praying, Peter interrupted his prayer session and said, Master, we need you. He says, all men seek thee. As soon as it was sunrise, people were already looking for Jesus. Why? Because he knew, these people just knew that Jesus had the power to solve their problems and that he was getting this power from God. How was he getting it? By means of prayer. Prayer is a mighty weapon for the minister of Christ, for the individual saint, and for the church as a whole. It's a mighty, mighty weapon. So we saw, we considered, we looked at how the Bible continually reminds us through the Gospels that Jesus, what? Prayed without ceasing. But then we read in the book of Hebrews, we read in other portions of Scripture, that even right now, Jesus is in heaven, and what is he doing? He's interceding on your behalf, and he's interceding on... So Jesus did not stop praying after he said on the cross, it is finished. You thought when he said it's finished, it was finished, but no, his work of redemption, him dying on the cross, that portion of his ministry is finished. But now, as our high priest, who ministers in the heavenly sanctuary, what does he do? He ever liveth, as the book of Hebrews says, to make intercession for us. Now, if Jesus is still praying, don't you think we should be praying? If he finds it useful, if he finds it necessary, if he finds it to be part of our walk and our service, then why do we neglect it to do it so? So I think we ought to emulate our Lord and follow his glorious example of leading in ministry by what? Emulating, by showcasing, by proving to us that prayer, staying connected to God the Father, is what we should be doing. Before we preach any message, before we teach any class, before we counsel anybody, we ought to be like Jesus, praying. Praying for the people that we're going to minister to. That when, you know, think about how many people we've ministered to who came to our office for counseling, and after an hour session of counseling, they left even worse. Not only did they not resolve the issues, but they clearly told us in their rebellion, well, what you're telling me to do, I'm not going to do it. I've had that said to me many times. You see, and why do those things happen? Well, we learn because we enter into those counseling sessions with little or no prayer. So we need to pray more than say more to God before we talk to his people. We need to ask God to soften their hearts to make them sensitive to his word and to his spirit. And that only comes by means of what? Prayer. And that's what Jesus taught us. On one occasion, his disciples had tried to cast out a demon in his absence, and they failed. Then in a private session, he said unto them, this kind of demon, because all demons are not the same, he said, this genre of demon only comes out by fasting and prayer. Not just by praying, but by also fasting. So some demons come out with prayer. But then there's other demons who you need to add fasting to your prayer if they're going to come out. So think about it. Today, most churches don't even pray. So they have no chance. They have no power against these forces of darkness, much less they don't even pray, much less even fast. So we're really going through the motions when we talk about ministering to God's people. Because, yes, theologically we're ready. Our notes, we have 15, 20 pages of notes, but no prayer. So what good is notes? If the notes are not backed up, if they're not marinated, if they're not seasoned in power that was gotten from God in prayer. So let's emulate the Lord. Then we saw how the early church apostles got their power in what? Prayer. We find that the apostles were always praying. The apostles... Now, in the gospel, when they were disciples, their prayer life was a shambles. We saw how when they were the students of Jesus, when they were in his school, they did very little praying, and that's why they just failed on so many different levels. But then when the book of Acts begins, we find that there's a change. We find that these disciples have transitioned from disciples. Now they're really apostles. Why? Because they do nothing unless by what? By prayer. And we saw, we studied, we considered how the early apostles prayed without ceasing. They prayed without ceasing. In all things, they sought God. In all things, they went to God for help. And they went early, even before the help appeared, even before the troubles appeared. See, because you can't drop on your knees when they bring to you a demon-possessed person. That's not the time to drop on your knees and call down power from God. You need to call it down before they bring to your office the demon-possessed person. That, you see, it's before, so that when the person shows up, you can minister to them right then and there because you have the power. How did you get the power? You got it because you went first to God in prayer. And so the early church apostles, we find throughout the book of Acts that they were always praying without ceasing. They never stopped calling on God for help. And that's why the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. And then in Acts chapter 4, we read that the church kept multiplying. That in Acts 5:14, it said that great number of men believed. Each chapter in the book of Acts just keeps telling us how the church kept growing because it had a leadership that prayed without ceasing. I want to read to you an account. And I have Ironside's commentary. Ironside is one of those great, great Bible teachers, H.A. Ironside. And he has a book entitled Lectures on the Book of Acts. And this is what he writes. I'm going to read to you. And he's recounting how the healing of the lame man. You know in Acts 3 how Peter and John went to the temple to pray. As you can see, they were always praying without ceasing. And here Ironside comments on that particular episode. And he goes on to say, it says, referring to Acts 3:1, it says, as they went up, their attention was directed to a poor man who laid at one of the entrances. He was lame and could not walk. He had to be carried daily to the gate beautiful. There we can see him holding out his hand, beseeching the more fortunate passerby to contribute to his support. As Peter and John came along, something about them, perhaps their kindly faces, stirred his heart, and that made him feel that here these two men could help him. So he asked them for alms. And Peter, we are told, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He was definitely calling the lame man's attention, and the beggar looked up, thinking surely now he was about to receive a coin which would help him supply his temporal needs. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but as such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I am sure that to the very end of his days, Peter could have said, "Silver and gold have I none." These early followers of Jesus, our Lord, did not look upon the gospel ministry as a means of enriching themselves. They had taken the place of poverty and were willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what it meant. As they walked with him, he said to them, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head." So, it goes on to say, in connection with this episode, there is an interesting story of the medieval church. And this is where I really want you to pay attention. That the great scholar St. Thomas Aquinas came to the city of Rome to pay his respects to the one who was then Pope. In the course of Thomas Aquinas' visit, the Pope proudly showed him all the wonders of the papal palace and took him to his personal treasury and showed him his chest of silver and gold that he had received from every part of the world. With something of a smile, the Pope said, "You see, Brother Thomas, we cannot say as the first Pope did, because the Catholics believed that Peter was the first Pope. We cannot say as the first Pope did, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" St. Thomas Aquinas looked the Pope in the eye and fearlessly replied, "No, neither can we say in the name of Jesus, 'Arise up and walk.'" You see, riches had come to the church, but the power was gone. With Peter and the apostles, they had poverty and power. These were men who walked with God, esteeming the greater riches than all that the world can offer them. They looked to Christ and identified with Christ and his earthly ministry and poverty. As you can see, the early apostles were men of prayer. The early apostles were not hustlers. The early apostles were not people looking to establish their brand. The early apostles were not like the preachers from L.A. or the preachers from Detroit now. The early apostles were men of prayer. And we saw this. And this is why, as Thomas Aquinas noted, yeah, you have riches, but you've lost the power. You can't say now to the lame, "Rise up and walk." So keep, in other words, what Thomas Aquinas was saying to the Pope, "You keep the riches, I want the power. You keep the prestige, I'll stick with prayer." And this is what we must do, my brothers and sisters. We must devote ourselves to what Christ and his early apostles devoted themselves to. And that is what? That is prayer. Prayer. Forget riches. Pursue prayer. Pursue God in prayer. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, so, Lord, do I desire thee. Are you desiring God? That can truly be measured by your prayer life. Are you praying without ceasing? And why do we pray first? We pray because we have a relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? When was the last time you talked to your Heavenly Father? That's number one. We pray out of relationship. I talk to my wife and my children out of relationship. I don't walk through the house not talking to anybody. And I'm constantly talking because there is what? The constant need to reaffirm relationship. So how can we claim that God is our Heavenly Father and we don't have a prayer life? We go for weeks without talking to God. How can that be? And we go to his house on Sunday. We go to God's house. And we talk to everybody else except God. So listen, prayer has to do with relationship. How is your relationship with God? But then, as we're talking to God, there's a second effect, a second benefit. The first benefit is relationship. The second benefit is what? Transformation. Do you know that when you pray, God is changing you? Prayer, you think that you're going to God to get some things for some other people, and really what God is doing is God is changing you. God is changing you from a selfish person to a selfless person. Changes the person who prays. Are you being changed? Well, I want somebody to lay hands on me so that I can be changed. Forget that. Prayer comes, or rather change comes, transformation comes, a new you comes as you seek God's face. You can't hang out with God. You can't be in the presence of God and not come back changed. He will change you. So the first benefit is the benefit of relationship. The second benefit of prayer is that God changes me, the person who is praying. And boy, who doesn't need change? I'm sure your wife will tell you, go talk to God. If he's going to change you, go talk to God. Stop watching TV, go talk to God. Our children need for us to be changed. Our spouses, our children, our coworkers. So pray so that God can change you, so that God can change your heart. But then finally, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because we go to God on behalf of other people, whether those people are saved or unsaved. So there's a benefit. As Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, he says, pray. Why? Because when you pray for those who are in authority, when you pray for leaders, civic leaders, when you pray for kings, Paul says, then God sends peace throughout the land. Prayer changes things. And so we need to pray. We need to intercede for America. We need to intercede for our president, President Obama. We need to intercede for those in the Senate and those in Congress. Believe you me, if the church was praying, we would not have the gridlock that we have in Washington. But because we're not praying, we are playing. We're not praying, we're playing. All you got to do is just remove the R and insert the L. And this is why we are in trouble. So prayer has a benefit of relationship. Prayer has a benefit of transformation. You're praying to God to change your wife, and you'll notice that when you come out of your closet, God has changed you. But Lord, I want you to change my... No, no. You're praying, and really, God is chipping your rough edges away. And then finally, when you pray, benefits come to other people. Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and what did they say to the lame man? Silver and gold we have none, but what we give you, what do we give you? In the name of Jesus. See, in the name of whom? Jesus. So the benefit did not come to Peter and John. The benefit came to the lame man. And that's what the world needs. The world needs change. And we can change people. We can change the world one person at a time if we are what? Praying. But then I want to show you today how the early church prayed. It's not just Jesus praying and the leaders praying, but even the members have to pray. Well, let me show you in Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts 1. Acts 1. And it says in Acts 1, verse number 13, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they went into an upper room. There abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. And all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and the number of them was what? 120 people. See, the church came together to pray. To do what? To seek direction, to wait for the Holy Spirit. The church got together to pray. And we know what happened after they prayed. God sent the Holy Spirit. Peter preached. 3,000 souls were added. But then even then, after having all of that success, and after the lame man got healed in Acts 3, the apostles were arrested. And they were forbidden to preach any more in the name of Jesus. So what did the apostles do? Go to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 23. And they, being let go, went back to the church and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And it says, and they prayed. And now verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak the word. And we pray that you would stretch forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And verse 31 says, and when they had what? Prayed. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. See? A prayer meeting. A prayer meeting as a result of what? Of being arrested and being told to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. Then we find in Acts 12. Go to Acts 12. I mean, just over and over, I can just show you examples of the apostles and the early church were always praying without ceasing. In Acts 12 it says, now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain that were in the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quintorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for what? For him. See, the early church prayed. What did they pray for? They prayed for the lost. They prayed for power. They prayed that their leaders would be delivered. And we too, like the early church, all of us must join our Savior and our leaders in prayer. This is not optional for members. This is not one of those things that you can do if you want to. No, the entire church, every member, every man, every woman, every young person, every child is taught in Scripture that collectively we come together to pray, to call upon God, to derive from Him the powers that we need to do those things which He has asked us to what? To do. If you notice, Peter and John never prayed for money. Never prayed for money because, listen, the lame man, so they would have given, let's say they had prayed for money and they had some money and they would have given the lame man a coin. Well, the lame man would have been back there tomorrow and he would have been back there the next day. And why? Because giving somebody money doesn't solve their problems. It's like these TV ministries. They keep begging people for money. They're throwing money at the problems. We don't need money. What we need is power. How do you get the power? You get the power by means of what? You get the power by means of prayer. That's how you get the power. You get the power by means of what? Praying. And praying is free. So if every ministry stopped begging for money and just got on its knees and prayed, we can save. We can reach the world for Christ. Now, of course, we're not that so heavenly minded and no earthly good. Of course, we need funds. How else do you pay for? I mean, you can't go on a mission trip and go to the counter at American Airlines and say, "This flight is leaving to Africa." Yes, okay. Here's my passport. Here's my ID, and when they ask you for a ticket, you can't tell the ticket counter person, you can't say to them, "I'm traveling by faith." "Well, sir, what does that mean?" "Well, you're going to let me get on the plane for free." "No, sir, you can only get on this plane if you purchase a ticket." Of course we know. We're not that silly to think that we can do missions or ministry without funds. Of course we need funds. But listen. If finances is your everything, then you're going to fail. And so really, 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 it's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. We need more prayer, less money. Trust me when I tell you, we need more prayer, less money. These TV ministries who collect millions of dollars a year, and then at the end of the year are crying because they need your help. They need your help to help them not go under. Well, again, all you have, see, who are they appealing to? They're really appealing to you instead of God. Instead of doing like George Mueller did, George Mueller, God told him to establish certain orphanages. And he said, "Okay, God, I'm going to do it. God, you want me to start these orphanages? I'm going to do them for you. But this is under this condition. I am not going to write letters. If it involves writing letters, I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to. If it involves doing that, I'm not your man, Lord." He says, "We'll start these orphanages." And notice what he said. He said, "We will pray every cent in." Now, he didn't exclude the fact that he needed money. He said, "The way we're going to get the money is we're going to approach God. This is your business, God. This is your ministry, God. Then we're going to come to you that you can fund it and then believe that you will touch people to fund it. We're not going to reach people. We're going to reach you. Because it takes money to run the ministry. But we're not going to beg. We're not going to cry. We're not going to send out letters. We're not going to throw tantrums. We're going to come before you every single day and believe that you will touch hearts all throughout England and that people will send the money to run these orphanages. And he had two pillars established at the entrance of the orphanages, and each pillar said, the Lord will provide. And that's how George Mueller ran his ministry. He ran his ministries on his knees. And so we can do all that we need to do if we would simply learn to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. God says, or Isaiah says in Isaiah 66, give God no rest. Keep coming back to God with your petitions. Keep coming back to God with your needs. Keep coming back to God, presenting him the soteric needs and the financial needs of others. There are people who need to get saved. Bring them before the Lord. Lord, touch this one. Lord, look at this one's life. Look at this one's addiction. Look at this one's bondage. Only you can set them free, Lord. So you bring people to God who have salvation needs, soteric needs. And you'll see God. All this money that you want to spend on evangelism, if we would just seek God in, you know, I can tell you what the apostles' budget was for the Day of Pentecost crusade. You know what the apostles spent on the day, you know, the Day of Pentecost crusade, the Day of Pentecost revival, the Day of Pentecost rally? You know what they spent? Nothing. They didn't spend a penny. The apostles did not spend a penny. You know why? Because they went to God in prayer. Prayer. Their budget was zero. Look it up in the book of Acts. They didn't collect an offering. Nothing. Their budget was zero because they had done what Jesus told them to do. Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. He never told them to collect money, to raise offerings for the missionary work that we're going to do. He says, just go get power from on high. And the way you get power is that you go into the upper room and you call on God. And when they left the room, God, because remember, if God doesn't draw them, they won't come. God drew the people together. Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were saved on a budget of $0. All because they were obedient and they obeyed Christ when he said, pray. Pray. So I hope as a church, before you get together, before your church gets together, because I realize that many of you go to a local church, before you start presenting your budgets, ask how much time we're going to spend in prayer. How much time are we going to spend in prayer? Because the first thing that people do is they have these planning meetings when they start talking about, okay, this is what we're going to do and what's the budget. Nothing, no mention of prayer, no mention of seeking God, no mention of seeking his face is, okay, what are we going to do? How much is it going to cost us? How are we going to raise the money? How about doing it Jesus' way? How about just going into the upper room and let us go get power? Let's go get power. Let's go get power. Power from on high. Peter said to the lame man, silver and gold I have none, but you know what I have? I have power from on high in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Power from on high. Let's get it by means of prayer. Do not forget, as I remind you for the second time, that tomorrow we have this class on Satanology and spiritual warfare. Satanology, spiritual warfare tomorrow, starting at 9 o'clock at the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock. And don't forget Sunday's worship service. I'm preaching. My message is entitled, Christ Has Risen. Go now. Go witness now that Christ has risen. It's a follow-up message to last Sunday's message. Don't forget to tune in there. And once again, remember that we are counting on your love gifts. Until then, until tomorrow, this is Radio Shepherd tuning off. May God keep you and bless you. Amen.
I must tell Jesus.